everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Latrell when we come back. Hey, if you're earning $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, then you get to keep 40% of what you create and produce. Government gets 60%. That's $20,000 for you and $30,000 for the government. Now, isn't that just real special? And if you think your share isn't enough, then why don't you work twice as hard and produce twice as much and make $100,000 next year? Then go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes, just like you did this year. And you're going to net about 25%, and the government will net 75%. What that breaks down to mean is that for working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you're going to net $4,000 more, 8% more. You produce twice as much, you get 8% of it, guaranteed by Congress and the IRS. Now, that's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do than to work to put ourselves into the top 5% of income earners and then only net 25% of it. And that's what I teach in my tax and status school, which is now on compact disc for adult home study. Why don't you call today and order my free 4-hour CD package? And let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information, and it answers many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is we pay so much and receive so little. And let me teach you how to do just that in my tax and status school, which is now available on compact disc for adult home school. To order your free general law CD package, just call direct. Number is 417-273-4967. Remember, it's free, didn't cost you anything. 417-273-4967. That's the place to start. Or you can go to our website, it's georgegordon.org, and just click onto the email, send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were reviewing the book, we're still reviewing it. It's called The Latrell Case Histories, the Richardson Canic Clinic Experience. Dr. Richardson, back in the 1970s, was one of many medical doctors, licensed, bonded, and insured. Now, this guy is called a quack. Called a quack. Now, I thought that a quack was some guy that came along and was offering you some medical cure, but he wasn't a medical doctor. He was a George Gordon who was trying to cash in on the medical profession. I'm unlicensed, and I'm untrained, and I'm not a professional, and I'm telling you how to cure cancer. Now, if you called me a quack, you'd be right on point. Right on point. But I'm not claiming that I know anything. I'm a reporter. I'm just reporting facts. This Dr. Richardson, he may be a quack, and I'm not saying that he isn't. I'm just saying that he's a guy who discovered Latrell back in the 1970s. Latrell is a naturally occurring vitamin. It was labeled vitamin B17 in 1950 by another medical doctor by the name of Krebs, who lived in San Francisco, California, and he discovered vitamin B17. And this vitamin B17, it was discovered, cures cancer. It cures cancer because it prevents cancer. It is the vitamin that you need to prevent getting cancer, just like vitamin C is the scurvy prevention vitamin. Vitamin C prevents scurvy. Vitamin C cures scurvy. If you've got scurvy, we give you vitamin C, the scurvy goes away. If you've got cancer, we give you B17, the cancer goes away. Now, we would like to cure everybody in the world of cancer by giving them vitamin B17, except that at this late date in the game, cancer is big business. It's a $500 billion a year business in this country. And because of that, I was here in the United States, and I can't speak for the rest of you people around the world, but I would guess that you people in Australia and New Zealand and Canada, I'll bet you that the cancer industry in your countries is as big or nearly as big as the cancer industry is here in the United States. I mean, it's big business. Now, you're expected, if you're an American, to get cancer. The cancer rate at this moment in time is 50%. That is, half the people that are living in the United States today are going to get cancer in their lifetime. And by 2020, they tell us it's going to be 100%. Boy, that's something to look forward to. 100%. We're spending $28 billion a year on cancer research, and from 1900, when one person in 33 could expect to get cancer, by 2020, we expect 100% of us will get cancer at some point in our lifetime. That's real progress. Now, if spending $28 billion a year in cancer research can produce those kinds of results, I'd like to stay as far away from that as I can get. I can't speak for anybody else, but let me tell you, I'm going to stay as far away from that as I can get. And let the rest of you people, you can all have cancer, you can take my share if you want. I'm all in favor of this Latrell, this B17 vitamin over here, and you can't buy it in this country. I don't know about where you live. It's outlawed here in this country. Now, I imagine you can probably buy vitamin B17 in some form. I don't know how you do that. But don't go in and ask for Latrell or something like that, because, see, that's a no-no. Well, anyway, Dr. Richardson in chapter 2, he has some absurdities. He says, you know, self-evident absurdities. The two big ones that came up is that Laetrile, I mentioned this to you last time, Laetrile has cyanide in it. And cyanide is deadly poison, therefore Laetrile is poison. Well, it's just a logical conclusion, and it's designed that way. It's a sound bite is what it is. It isn't true, but it sounds like it's true, and that's what the American Medical Association and the anti-Laetrile forces have been propagandizing us with. And that's number one. Number two is Laetrile doesn't have any efficacy whatsoever. It is totally worthless. And the bastards that are giving it to us are just taking advantage of us. And they're quacks. And they're selling us this useless product and taking our money. So they're just greedy pigs. Now that's the second big argument in the self-evident absurdities. So I thought I would address those in this segment. Let's take a look here at good and bad cyanide. It is true that arsenic is poison and cyanide is poison. That's real true. I don't deny it. But all drugs are poisons and all drugs have side effects. Laetrile doesn't have any side effects, and Laetrile isn't a drug. It's a vitamin. It's a food. And you can take as much of it as you want, and I'll show you that here in a second. But let's take a look at good and bad cyanide. And by the way, this comes from www.laetrile.com. If you want to do a little research on Laetrile, just punch Laetrile in any search engine. And my boy did that the other day. I said, hey, I'm going to review this book on Laetrile. And they sent it up here to me from the guys down at bookstore, bravenewbookstore.com, down in Austin, Texas, to review. And if you want to get a copy of it, you just go to bravenewbookstore.com. And if you want to write them a letter or call them on the phone, that's a really good way to do that. I just call people on telephone. It's 512-480-2503. Again, that's area code 512-480-2503. Down in Austin, Texas, and then get your copy of this book. Now, it was first published back in 1977, but it was republished in 2005. So, if you know, it's not going to be out there where everybody can find it. It might be one of those difficult books to find, so you may need to go to bravenewbookstore.com. But anyway, there's this good and bad cyanide. So I went to the internet, and I said, well, give me some information on Laetrile. Now, this is information that's out there in the public domain, so I'm not giving you some classified secret, you know, from the Defense Department here. This section addresses everything you wanted to know about the Laetrile cyanide connection. We all know that cyanide is bad for you, yet here we're jumping up and down saying it's good for you because it kills cancer. So let's take a look at the real story. This section assumes that you read the previous section, How Does B17 Kill Cancer? Now I'm going to read you the first section here in a minute. Hydrogen cyanide must be formed. There is no free hydrogen cyanide in Laetrile floating around freely in our body waiting to harm us when we eat apricot seeds or take Laetrile. The enzyme beta-glucosidase, and only that enzyme is capable of manufacturing and forming the hydrogen cyanide from Laetrile. If there are no cancer cells in your body, there is no beta-glucosidase. If there is no beta-glucosidase, no hydrogen cyanide will be formed from Laetrile. Even if there were some other way to manufacture cyanide from Laetrile in the body, the amount would be so minute that it would have little, if any, toxic effect. See, How Does B17 Kill Cancer? Laetrile does, on the other hand, contain the cyanide radical CN. So does vitamin B12, cassava and strawberries, and a host of other foods that we consume. You never heard of anyone getting cyanide poison from vitamin B12 or from eating strawberries because it just doesn't happen. So let's also look at table salt, which is made up of sodium chloride, NaCl, and is very common in most households. Yet, did you know that pure sodium, Na, is one of the most toxic substances known to man? And yet, in their form locked together, they are non-toxic. Now, any good toxicologist will tell you that sugar is 20 times more toxic than Laetrile, and salt is also much more toxic than vitamin B17. Now, here's a little irony out of all of this. Milligram for milligram, the chemotherapeutic agents, which are commonly used in the treatment of cancer today, are hundreds of times more toxic than Laetrile. Enough said. Oh, and by the way, many tests have been done where people who believe in and use Laetrile have injected themselves with extremely large doses of Laetrile to prove that it is not toxic. In these cases, the main side effect was generally found to be excessive sleep. All right, now there's one. Now remember, this comes from www.laetrile.com. Laetrile.com. All right, now how does B17 kill cancer? See if I've got that one here. Here it is. Three-page article. Take that back. Two-page article. How does B17 kill cancer? Well, if you believe in God, the logic of how B17 kills cancer will be easy to accept and understand when you realize that God has given our bodies a natural defense against cancer, which is determined by the food or junk that we eat in our diet. It is a perfect natural balance that God has designed and planned for us in the way that we live. When we alter that natural life balance according to the way we choose to live, rather than the way He teaches us to live, it is then that disease becomes an issue in our lives. Now, I brought that to your attention in the last program when Dr. Richardson said, well, you got all these innocent people over here that are dying. And I said, there isn't one of them that's innocent. If you've got cancer, you caused it. Cancer is not a normal state of your body. It's abnormal. Cancer is a penalty that we pay for the violation of a health law. Cancer is a penalty for sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. Now, that's the bottom line. Now, you can sit there and say, well, I'm just innocent. Okay, go ahead. But that's not true. Now, if you're paying a penalty, then you need to stop and ask yourself, what the hell caused this? Something is causing this. I need to get at that cause and eliminate it. And that's the logic of it. Let's eliminate the cause of cancer. Now, you can get cancer from a couple of three different sources. One of them is nutritional deficiency, but we also have a thing called carcinogens. So you're out here in the environment, and you're breathing automobile exhaust in your air every day, and then it's got maybe lead in it or various chemicals, and then they get into your lungs, and one day you develop lung cancer. We don't know what cancer is. Science tells you very plainly, we don't know what the hell it is. We can see its manifestations. We can see a discoloration on our skin. We can see a lump or a tumor develop. Okay, well, that's the results of it. I mean, when you got scurvy, we can see the results of the scurvy. We know what causes scurvy, but we don't know what the hell it is. We're unable to tell you, what is it? It's like gravity. Well, what in the hell is gravity? Go get me a 5-gallon bucket of gravity, bring it in here, let's analyze it in the laboratory. And you'd say, well, we can see what it does, and we can see what we think, and we hang a label on it, and we call it gravity. And then we say, well, you know what gravity is. Well, no, I don't. I haven't got a clue. So just because we can see the manifestation of something doesn't mean that we really know or understand a whole lot about it. No, some things that we do. For some things that we can really get into and we can really understand it. Now, we can understand how the B17 kills the cancer, and that's what this article is about. But we don't know what the hell the cancer is. We can see the tumor. And so the medical profession has taken this pretty logical conclusion. You got this tumor, and then we biopsy the tumor, and we say, oh, my God, it's got malignant cells, therefore it is cancerous. But, you know, there's tumors that aren't cancerous. I mean, you can have a growth on your body like a wart, and it's not a cancer. It's not malignant cancer. Maybe you could call it a cancer because it's a growth, but, you know, it's not malignant. All right, so we've got these two different types of growths. Well, you got this growth on you, and it's not malignant. Well, okay, it's nothing to worry about. It may be unsightly. A big wart on the end of your nose would be unsightly. But it isn't life-threatening. It didn't kill you any more than having the wart on your arm or someplace. Now, when it's malignant, now it's another story. This thing is growing. This thing is spreading through your body, and it's creating other lumps. But the lumps are the manifestation of the cancer, but we don't know what the cancer is. We covered that last time. We know what it does. You lose your appetite. You lose your energy. And pretty soon you die. Now, when you take the B17, you get your appetite back. You get your energy back. The lump is still there. We found that out. Okay, maybe we need to surgically remove the wart from the end of your nose because it's unsightly. But the wart on the end of your nose is not your problem. It's the symptom of your problem. That lump is telling you you've got a problem called cancer and it needs to be solved. And the solution to it is B17 in the same way that vitamin C is the solution to scurvy. Can you grasp that, children? It really isn't a big deal. It's fairly simple, straightforward. But it's so simple, you know, that it's just gone right over everybody's head. Now, the people in the medical profession, they all know this and they understand it perfectly. You do not need to write any letters to the FDA. They already know this. You don't need to write a letter to Merck or Pfizer. They're already well aware of B17. And they're also dead set against it. But not because it doesn't work. It's because it works so well that it threatens a multi-billion-dollar-a-year industry, and we're not going to have that. It ain't going to happen. Any more than somebody's going to come up with some cheap alternative fuel to replace gasoline. Tain't going to happen in this country. Not as long as there's an Exxon, Shell, and Mobil. Tain't going to happen, kids. So if you think that you're going to replace coal with green, you got your head up the wrong end again. Not as long as there's an Exxon. Not as long as there's a Peabody Coal Company. Not as long as there's a Congress that's still meeting. Tain't going to happen. All right, so now with that out of the way, so how does B17 kill? Well, here we go. First, we need to understand that your body uses several enzymes to perform their many tasks. our body has one particular enzyme, which is called rhodanese, R-H-O-D-A-N-E-S-E, rhodanese, which is found in large quantities throughout the body, but it is not present wherever there are cancer cells. Yet wherever you find cancer in your body, you find another enzyme called beta-glucosidase. So we have the enzyme rhodanese found everywhere in the body, except at the cancer cells. And then we have the enzyme beta-glucosidase, which is found in very large quantities only at the cancer cell, but not found anywhere else in the body. If there is no cancer in your body, there is no enzyme beta-glucosidase. Now that the following is what scares most people. You see, vitamin B17 is made up of two parts glucose and one part hydrogen cyanide, and one part benzaldehyde, I would guess, which is an analgesic painkiller. So it's very important that you understand the following. When B17 is introduced into your body, it's broken down by the enzyme rhodanase. The rhodanase breaks the hydrogen cyanide and the benzaldehyde down into two byproducts. They're called thiocyanate and benzoic acid, which are beneficial in nourishing healthy cells, and it forms the metabolic pool production for vitamin B12. Any excess of these byproducts is expelled in normal fashion from your body by way of your urine. Vitamin B17 passes through your body and does not last longer than 80 minutes inside your body as a result of the rhodanese breaking it down. Hydrogen cyanide has been proven to be chemically inert and non-toxic when it is taken as food or refined pharmaceutical, such as Laetrile. Sugar has to be shown to be 20 times more toxic than B17. See the good and bad cyanide. I already read you the good and bad cyanide. Now here's the good part. When the B17 comes into contact with cancer cells, there is no rhodanese to break it down and neutralize it, but instead only the enzyme beta-glucosidase is present in very large quantities. When B17 and beta-glucosidase come into contact with each other, a chemical reaction occurs, and the hydrogen cyanide and the benzaldehyde combine synergistically to produce a poison which destroys and kills the cancer cells. Well, isn't that just real special? Now, this whole process is known as selective toxicity. Only the cancer cells are specifically targeted and destroyed. See the diagram below. That's how vitamin B17 kills cancer. It has been proven and illustrated to work by some of the top specialists in the world. And that's why the Contreras Hospital in Mexico have been able over the last 30 years to successfully treat over 100,000 cancer patients. Now, see, you can go to Mexico or Switzerland or other countries in the world, and you can get cancer treatment by way of Laetrile. It's legal there, not in the United States. And here, they fight it tooth and toenail. Who's fighting it? It's the American Cancer Society. It's the American Medical Society. It's the Food and Drug Administration. It's the Department of Agriculture. It's your government. And why? Well, because it's big business. That's why. Now, I'm not a quack. I don't qualify as a quack. I don't qualify as a medical doctor. I'm not here to tell you that if you've got cancer, you should go take Laetrile. Hell, I don't know what you should take. I don't know how you should treat your cancer if you've got cancer. You know, that's a decision for you to make. Now, I reported to you here, I think, on the first program. Across the road here, there's a nice lady named Kathy. Wonderful lady. And everybody in the community loved her. She was just a sweetheart. And she was active in community affairs. And she's just one of those kind of people that are just active, you know, a hustler and just a do-gooder if there ever was one. Well, she came down with cancer. And everybody was sad when Kathy came down with cancer, and we all wished her the best. Now, I never went over there, knocked on her door, and said, oh, by the way, let me explain to you about Laetrile. You know, there's a lot of things that I know in life, and I don't run around knocking on people's doors and say, oh, by the way, did you know? That's where the religious people come in. They come in here knocking on your door, and they ask you, well, do you know Jesus, or are you saved? And one thing, I think that that's kind of an intrusive. I've never knocked on anybody's door and asked them if they know Jesus. Or knock on somebody's door and say, oh, by the way, do you know about Laetrile? I'm not out here selling Laetrile. I don't make any money off of Laetrile. I don't get paid for knocking on people's doors and pestering them about Jesus. So I didn't say anything. Well, the lady, she had cancer, I don't know, 2-3 years, something like that. And one day, deputy sheriff saw me out in the front of the place. I was out on the highway. And he stopped and he said, well, hi, George, how you doing? And I talked to him. His name is Schroeder. And so he said, well, I'm on my way over to Smith's. Kathy died. I said, oh, I didn't know. God, I'm really sorry to hear that, Gene. And so he said, yeah, it's really a tragedy and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure that Kathy's husband and children, you know, that they see that as being a god-awful tragedy. So do I.
Now, you know, somebody's going to say, well, you know, Gordon, you must be awful insensitive that you knew that that woman had cancer. You knew that Lantrell would save her life, and you never said a word to her. No, I didn't. Not a word. And I'll tell you why. My wife has had cancer for 30 years. 30. See, she was diagnosed with cancer and given 3 months to live back in 1978. And my wife boned up. She went right to work on wheatgrass, coffee enemas, Laetrile, vitamin and mineral therapy. I mean, she boned right up on it, and just as soon as she could, and she went to work. She got away from the medical doctors, and she didn't take the cut, burn, and poison, and she went to work on alternative holistic therapies, including B17, and she cured the cancer. Cured it. You know, she's 30 years later. She's still here. You know, still got cancer, still on therapy, and she'll die with cancer. We hope she doesn't die of it, but she's going to die with it. Now, this is why it's so important, if you possibly can, to avoid getting cancer. Because once you get it, now you're going to have it for the rest of your life. That's been my observation. That's been what I see. Now, I don't know of very many cancer survivors over a long period of time. I can read about them. And this Dr. Richardson over here has 64 case histories. We're going to cover some of them, not all of them, but we'll cover some case histories of some successful cancer therapies. It doesn't happen very often because not very many people go with alternative therapy. We have been so propagandized in this country that when you get cancer, the only solution is the medical establishment and cut, burn, and poison. That's the only solution to cancer. And it's been buried. You know, Katie Kirk, nice, sweet lady that she is, she's not out here telling you about Lantrell. And she's not telling you about the other 13 cancer cures. And maybe she, honest to God, believes that there aren't any, because that's what the American Medical Society tells you. There is no cure to cancer. That's what they tell you. It's not true, but that's what you're told. So the nice lady across the road died. And listen, millions of people are dying all over the world because of their ignorance. And it's lamentable. And I'm sorry to hear that. And so I'm going to do my little bit here, and I'm going to clear the air and say, okay, well, let me tell you the answer to that riddle. And then once you get the information, you can do with it as you see fit. Okay, now we're at the halfway point. I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet every day also. If you'd like more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches 8 schools: family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on a compact disc. For more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet daily. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, economics, history, health, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, they're accurate, and they're correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. We are reviewing a book called Laetrile, Case Histories. That's Laetrile, Case Histories, that's the title, by John A. Richardson, M.D. You can get a copy of this book from bravenewbookstore.com. That's bravenewbookstore.com. You may be able to find this book or a book similar to it in your local health food store, which will probably tell you the story about Laetrile. Or you can, you might be able to find it at Barnes & Noble. I wouldn't say that you couldn't. It's a fairly new book. It was republished in 2005, first published back in 1977. All right. Now, there were two complaints that the anti-Laetrile faction has. Number one, it's got cyanide in it. Cyanide is a deadly poison, therefore Laetrile is a deadly poison. It's what we call guilt by association. Guilt by association. So what we do is we say, well, you know cyanide is deadly poison, don't you? And you'll say, well, yes, I do. And you'll say, well, did you know that B-17 has cyanide in it? No, I didn't know that. Well, now you do. I wouldn't take cyanide because it's a deadly poison. Would you take vitamin B-17 that you know has cyanide in it? And you see, when you use that kind of logic, when you use that kind of a story, people say, oh, God, no, I would never touch Lantrel. So that's why I showed you that the cyanide story in the Lantrel is a red herring. It's a BS argument. And you don't need to write a letter to the FDA and explain this to them. They already know this. They know it better than you do. Now, there's another side of the story, and that is Lantrel doesn't work. And because it doesn't work, the people that are selling it to you are taking advantage of you. They're lying to you. They're stealing from you. They're cheating you. And therefore, we need to put them out of business because they're liars, thieves, and cheats. And that's not true. Now, I wouldn't go so far as to say that the people that are making that argument are liars, because a lot of times people will make statements or they'll say things that they, honest to God, believe are true. And no doubt many people that are opposed to Lantrel are just ignorant people that don't know. So the objective here is, well, can we educate them? Well, I don't have any duty to educate a fool. I have no duty to eliminate or eradicate foolishness from planet Earth. Foolishness has been here forever. It's going to be here forever. I'm not here to explain foolishness to anybody. And there's a lot of it out there, and if people want to engage in it, you know, that's a choice that they have to make in life. Let them get after it. And meanwhile, back on the farm, I need to find out for my own benefit the story about Lantrel. You know, what's it all about? Now, upstairs, my wife has a book called The Cyanide Cookbook. It's called The Cyanide Cookbook. And it has in there 230 recipes that you can use with cyanide. It's kind of a spoof on Lantrel. It's a book on all of the various foods that contain Lantrel that have any nutritional value to you. I mean, B-17 is in minute quantities in all kinds of foods, but it's in high quantity in many foods, and medium quantity, and then low quantity. And those foods are listed. But here's some people that don't get cancer. Three groups of people. The people who live in Hunza don't get cancer. None. Zero. Zilch. Eskimos do not get cancer. None. Zero. Zilch. The Hopi and Navajo Indians. I don't know if I can pronounce this one here. A-B-K-H-A-Z-I-A-N-S. Abkhazians. Or something like that. Anyway, they're found over in Russia. And then Seventh-day Adventists. Now, you probably know a Seventh-day Adventist. My Aunt Bessie was a Seventh-day Adventist. My old friend Louie and Nancy, his wife, are Adventists. They used to be. I guess they're not. They got kicked out of the church, as I recall. So I'm not sure they're Adventists anymore, but they were. And these people don't get cancer. Now, why is it that Adventists don't get cancer? Is it because they know Jesus? Or is there something else running around out here below the surface that we don't know about? Because when I saw this Seventh-day Adventist don't get cancer, I thought, what? What? Well, I'm going to go join the Seventh-day Adventist Church because I don't want to get cancer. So if you join the Seventh-day Adventist Church, you won't get cancer because Adventists don't get it. How about the Hopi and the Navajo Indians? How come they don't get cancer? What is it about those people? What is it about Eskimos? I mean, these people are living about as far away from each other as you can get. I mean, the Hunzas are living over in the Himalayan Mountains. The Eskimos are living up at the North Pole. The Seventh-day Adventists are living right here amongst us. And then the Hopi and Navajo Indians, you know, they're down in the southwestern United States. And then there's a group of people over here in Russia, and they don't get cancer either. Now, there's other people in the world besides these that don't, but they picked out these four or five. And by the way, this article is available now, because remember, this is what the FDA is telling you. This stuff doesn't work. This B-17 is a hoax. Okay, well, let's take a look at it. The best way to prove or to disprove the vitamin B-17 theory of cancer would be to take several thousand people over a period of many years, expose them to a constant diet of B-17, rich in nitrilicide food, and then check the results. Well, fortunately, this has already occurred by the study of the following cultures. It's the Hunza, the Aboriginal Eskimos, the Hopi and Navajo Indians, the Abkhazians, and members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Let's take a look at the Hunzas first. In the remote recesses of the Himalaya Mountains between West Pakistan, India, and China, there is a tiny kingdom called Hunza. These people are known the world over for their amazing longevity and for their health. They live well beyond 100 years and have commonly been known to still further, or to still father children at the age of 110. Now, one of the first medical teams to study the Hunza was headed by world-renowned British surgeon Dr. Robert McCarrison, writing in the AMA Journal on January the 7th, 1922. Now, that's very important, boys and girls, to write that down. That's January 7th, 1722. 1922. That was a long time ago. That was before you were born. Long before you were born. In the American Medical Journal. Remember the Journal of the Society of the American Medical Association? The Hunza have no known incidence of cancer. They have an abundant crop of apricots. These they dry in the sun and use largely in their food. It is interesting to note that the traditional Hunza diet contains over 200 times more nitrilicide, B17-rich food, than the average American or Australian diet. There's no such thing as money in Hunza. A man's wealth is measured by the number of apricot trees that he owns. And the most prized of all foods was considered to be the apricot seed. It is very common for the Hunza to eat between 30 and 50. That is about 30 milligrams of B17 in apricot seeds as an after-lunch snack. The thousands of seeds they do not eat, they store or grind them very finely and then squeeze under pressure to produce a very rich oil that is used in their cooking and applied to their skin. The apricot is a staple food in Hunza. They use the apricot, its seed, and the oil for practically everything. In addition to the ever-present apricot, the Hunza huts eat mainly grain and fresh vegetables. These include buckwheat, millet, alfalfa, peas, broad beans, turnips, lettuce, sprouting pulse, and berries of various sorts. All of these, with the exception of lettuce and turnips, contain vitamin B17. It is important to know when the Hunza leave their secluded land and adopt the menus of other countries, they soon succumb to the same diseases and infirmities, including cancer, as the rest of mankind. You know, this has been the example or the history everywhere the white man goes. We go to Africa and introduce the Africans to Krispy Kremes and Coca-Cola, and their teeth rot out and they die from cancer. They all had good teeth and they didn't die from cancer until the white man showed up on the scene and showed them how to eat. And the same thing happens to the Hunzas. Now you take these people out of their land, or you bring them Coca-Cola and Krispy Kremes, and they get tooth decay and they die from cancer, just like all the rest of us do. All right, now here's another group of people called Eskimos. The Eskimos are another people that have been observed by medical teams for many decades and found to be totally free of cancer. The traditional Eskimo diet is amazingly rich in B17 nitrilicides that come from the residue of the meat of caribou and other grazing animals, and also from the salmon berry. Another Eskimo delicacy is green salad made out of the stomach contents of caribou and reindeer, which are full of fresh tundra grass. Tundra grasses, such as arrow, are and have been shown to contain the highest content of B17 than other grasses. All right. Now that sounds a little gross. When you take this caribou, you kill it. You cut his stomach contents open and you take the grass out and then you eat it. God, that sounds bad. No, we're not talking about feces now, after it goes down the colon. We're talking about the contents of the stomach. Now, remember that these animals now, they're clean animals. Clean. You can eat them. They're quadrupeds. They chew their cud. They have cloven hooves. And they eat this tundra grass, which is high in nitrilicides, B17. The Eskimos cut them open. I mean, after all, where in the hell are these Eskimos going to get, you know, green salad? I mean, it isn't like they go down here, you know, to the Safeway store and go to the produce section. These people live up at the North Pole, remember? Or in the environs. They don't live exactly at the North Pole, but, you know, they're up there in the North Country. And so this may sound a little gross, you know, to the average Joe Sixpack down here, but, you know, makes all the sense in the world. Now, the animals themselves eat a lot of these nitrilicides, and it's in their tissue. So they eat the meat that has the nitrilicides. And they eat the content of the stomach, which is the animal that has been eating this grass. And they don't have any cancer, and that's because they're full of this B17. Now, that's two groups of people. They've been observed for at least several decades. That's 10 years, several 10-year periods. And you don't find any cancer in these people. Ah. Now remember, the medicos, the medical wackos down here in the United States, they say, well, this B17 doesn't have any proof behind it that it ever worked on anybody. Oh yeah, that's not true. There's all kinds of people that have been eating B17 and don't get cancer. That's what I mentioned to you the other day. I said, wouldn't it be better if you could avoid getting cancer? I think you'd be a lot healthier and happier if you could avoid it. I know our neighbor Kathy over here would be alive today if she had B17. I know that. I wouldn't go over and tell her husband that or tell her son and daughter that because they would be offended. They would just get damn mad. They believed in medical doctors. They went, they had bone marrow transplants. They had the chemotherapy and radiation and surgery. And they worked on that woman for 2 or 3 years. And then she finally died. Now, to go over to those people and tell them, well, geez, you know, if that lady would have just been eating, you know, apricot kernels, you know, or peach seeds, you know, like the Hunza's, or if, you know, just cut open the caribou and eat the stomach contents, why she'd be alive today. Why, they'd look at you like you were some kind of a lunatic madman. Hell, they'd have more respect for you if you walked up, knocked on the door and said, do you know Jesus? That's more normal. They don't want to hear about B-17. And there's another group of people called the Hopi. Oh, here's a last thought on the Eskimos. Alaska's most famous doctor is Dr. Preston A. Price. And he claims that in his 36 years of contact with these people, he had never seen a single case of a malignant disease among the truly primitive Eskimos, although it frequently occurred when they were modernized. So Weston A. Price discovered that when you take the Eskimos out of their natural environment, feed them Coca-Cola and Krispy Kremes, they get cancer. So there you are. I leave it to you. An interesting point to note is that when an Eskimo leaves his traditional way of life and begins to rely on a Western modern diet, he becomes even more cancer-prone than the average American. Now, the Hopi and the Navajo Indians. The Indians of North America are another people who are remarkably free from cancer. The AMA went as far as conducting a special study in an effort to discover why there was little or no cancer among the Hopi and Navajo Indians. In the February 5th, 1949 issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association, it declared that they found 36 cases of malignant cancer out of a population of 30,000. In the same population of white people, there are 1,800 cases of cancer in 30,000 people. Dr. Krebs' research later found that the typical diet for the Navajo and Hopi Indian consisted of nitrilicide-rich foods such as cassava, and he calculated that some of the tribes would ingest the equivalent of 8,000 milligrams of vitamin B17 per day from their diet. 8,000 milligrams. And none of them ever died from cyanide poisoning. Isn't that amazing? All right, now the Hopi and Navajo Indians. They did discover, though, as recently as 1949, 36 cases of malignant cancer out of a population of 30,000 Indians. All right, now that tells you a little bit more of the story. Now notice here, it's the American Medical Society that's telling you that this nitrilicide now is useless. Well, that's what they're telling you today. But they knew that in 1949 it wasn't useless. And remember, Dr. Krebs, now also a medical doctor, discovered this B-17 in 1950. That's a year after this 1949 publication in the AMA journal. So again, boys and girls, you don't need to write a letter now to the American Medical Association or to the Journal of the American Medical Association or to the Food and Drug Administration or to Pfizer or Merck or anybody else and tell them, oh my God, did you know about B-17? Hell, these are the people that discovered it, for crying out loud. Wake up, smell the coffee. They all know it. There isn't a one of them that doesn't know it. Now, there was some doctors back in the 1970s, like this Dr. Richardson. He did not know that. And so he educated himself, and he says, well, oh, my God, how come I didn't learn this in medical school? They don't teach this to you doctors in medical school because they don't want you to know this. They, that is, the people who are at the helm of the money tree. You know, the people that are running outfits, you know, like the AMA and the FDA and the CDC. I mean, come on, kids, you know, there's money to be made out here, and, you know, there's just business, nothing personal, just business. They didn't want to kill Kathy over here. They wanted to keep treating her. She had a good health program. Her husband worked down here in Mountain Home for the Baxter Medical Clinic down there. He had good health insurance. And as long as there's insurance, there's money, and as long as there's deep pockets, you know, everybody's happy. Now, in the end, the poor woman dies. You know, she wasn't innocent. You know, she was just guilty as hell. She had pig-eating Christian, just like everybody else. And she, you know, she had a toxic body, and she had a deficiency in vitamins, and she wasn't about to have anybody tell her what to eat. You know, as old Roy said to me, he said, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. Well, okay, Roy. By the way, old Roy died 2 years after he went to school here. He's 45. He died at age 47 from a massive coronary, which is exactly what you would expect from eating pig. You know, cholesterol kills. Or if it doesn't, it leads to something that will. All right, now here's the Russians over here. The Abkhazians or Abkhazinians or whoever the hell they are found deep in the Caucasus Mountains on the northwest side of the Black Sea. There are people with almost the exact same health record and longevity as the Hunzas. Their food and lifestyle having to live in a harsh, rugged terrain are almost identical. They follow a diet which is low in carbohydrates, high in vegetable proteins, and rich in minerals and vitamins, especially vitamin B17. Then we come to the killers here. Here's the Seventh-day Adventists. Many argue that the above races and cultures are the result of primitive groups not being exposed to the same carcinogens that modern man is exposed to. Many argue, let them breathe the same polluted air that we breathe, and smoke the same cigarettes, and swallow the same chemicals added to their food and water, or use the same soaps and deodorants, and then let's see how they fare. Well, that's a valid argument. Now, fortunately, thanks to the Seventh-day Adventists, The above question about how would they fare has been resolved. Seventh-day Adventists live in our everyday general population and in all parts of the world, and studies on the members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church have found that Seventh-day Adventists have more than 50% less cases of the incidence of cancer than the general population. This is a well-known fact today. Just do a search in an internet search engine such as Yahoo and search under Adventist less cancer and see all of the hits that you'll get from various sources supporting this. The SDAs have the same sex, same age, socioeconomic and educational, occupational, ethnic, and cultural profile as the rest of modern men, and yet they have 50% less cancer because they follow the biblical health principles for an abundant life by ingesting a vegetarian diet and living a happy, wholesome lifestyle. Now that's a contradiction. Hang on a second. The Eskimos eat meat and get their nitrosamines from meat. And the Bible does not advocate a vegetarian diet. That's Adventist theology, that the Bible advocates vegetarian diet. That's what they believe, and that's what this guy says because he's an Advent. And the truth of the matter is the Bible advocates a meat diet. It has two chapters. That's Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14, two chapters out of 1189, which are dedicated to meat and eating meat and what meat is good for you to eat. But here's the point. Seventh-day Adventists eat lots of nuts because they don't eat meat because they're vegetarians. And when they eat nuts, they eat vitamin B17. Well, most of them do. Not all Adventists are vegetarians, and not all Adventists lay off the Coke and Krispy Kremes. But most of them do, and most of them don't get cancer. All right, so that puts to rest the lie that there is no proof that B17 is a cancer preventative. Hey, I'm out of time again, so I got to remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy, procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, we've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.